last Sunday. If you grew up in a more liturgical church or a church that follows the church calendar, you know that last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday and what we celebrate there. That's part of the reason that we chose to do this series on the Holy Spirit leading into Pentecost. This week is Trinity Sunday, in which we celebrate that we worship a God who is not just a single person, single God, but His Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the three make up our the one God who we love and who loves us. And so celebration of Pentecost, somehow Pentecost Sunday didn't get on the roster either of major holidays that we celebrate, but it was a major part of who we are as a church and the work that God is doing in us. Amen? We're going to start today in John chapter 16, verse 5. John chapter 16, verse 5, and going through verse 7. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, "Now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But instead, because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart, because I have said, 'I'm going.' But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I do go, I will send him to you." You know, if you've ever moved away from a place, if you've ever lived somewhere and you've made friends or you're around family and you've moved away from home or you've moved away from that kind of home location, you know that feeling that you have when you're leaving friends or family, right? Not a good feeling. If you've ever had a friend who's moved away, you know that feeling from the other side as well. And it doesn't matter how excited you are, kind of looking forward to that place that you're going. It doesn't matter how excited you are about the job that awaits you or that new opportunity that's out there. It's never a good feeling. It doesn't matter how excited you are for that friend of yours who's moving away. They may be sitting there and they don't have any opportunities right there, but you know this is a great opportunity for them, or you know that they're going to be closer to their family, or they're going to be closer to opportunities that will help them be successful, but you're conflicted because on the one hand, you're excited for them, but it's never a good feeling when we have to separate from friends or family, right? You know, I realize that right now in talking about this, we have people within our own congregation. They're in the midst of this. This is a kind of a sensitive topic. But the truth is that we live in a culture and in a world that is constantly moving, very transient. And it doesn't matter if I brought this up and used it as an illustration this week or next month or next year or 10 years from now, somebody here would be in the midst of transition. Because that's constantly going on, and all of us, or most of us at least, have been touched by it. And it's not a good feeling. We don't like that. We like when we have our people, and they're around us, and they stay close, and we can stay close to them. So because of that, Jesus' words in John 16, we kind of wonder, what in the world was he thinking? What is he talking about? He's talking to his disciples, and he says to them, he says, you know, and this is just before his death, and he says, "Very soon, I'm going away." And immediately, you know, they all go, "What?" And he says, "Because I'm going back to him who first sent me." And they're going, "Oh, no, it sounds like he thinks he's going to die. He's going back to God." And they're going, "What?" And he says, "None of you here are asking me, 'Where are you going?'" Because they all assumed they knew where he was going. "But sorrow has filled your hearts because I have said this to you. But I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go." And at that point, you know they had in their minds, and I want you to just put yourself in their shoes. You're hearing Jesus say this, and you know they had in their minds the same thing that we think when somebody tells us, "Hey, I'm going to move, but it's actually better that I'm leaving." And you're going, "How in the world could this be better?" But if you take that feeling that maybe you've had at some point where you've said, "How could this ever be better that you're not going to be here anymore?" You have that feeling that you've had before. Take that and multiply it by 1,000, 10,000. Because this wasn't just any old person that was saying he was going to be leaving. This was Jesus. They had walked for 3.5 years with Jesus, with God himself in human form living right in front of them. They had seen the person and the heart and the compassion of God right there. And he said he's leaving. And they're going, how could that ever be better? How could anything be better than that? They had seen the God of grace and compassion, the God who is slow to anger, the God who is overflowing with kindness, the God who is relentless in his faithfulness and his pursuit of us. They had seen that God living in front of them. They had watched him heal people. They had touched him. They had laughed with him. They had spent fun times and hard times together. They had lived with him and walked with him. They had heard his words of forgiveness touch their own lives. They had also seen his teachings just transform how they saw the world, how they saw themselves. And now he says that he's going away. And it sounds like he's dying. This isn't going to be just a business trip where he'll be back soon. And we say, can you imagine, you know, can you imagine their shock? No, of course we can't, because we've never lived with somebody like that. I want you to think about what would it be to live with somebody like that and have them tell you, now I'm going away, but it's better. It's better for you that I go. They didn't know what it was going to be like. They just knew this was going to, just to imagine this person not there anymore, they're thinking this is going to be dark. This is going to be hard. This is going to be challenging. This is going to be unbearable to have lived with that for 3.5 years and then not to have that. But in those times of, in that time of absence, that time of challenge, when they went into that, that's that time that they also had to live by their faith, their belief, their belief that Jesus knew what he was talking about. He had known what he was talking about up to this point, and they had to trust that he knew what he was talking about when he said, you know what, it's better for me to go. And I feel bad for the disciples because they actually had to go through this kind of, this removal, Jesus kind of moving out of their, moving away from them. They had to go through that twice, right? The first time was they had to go through it when Jesus went to the cross and he died and he was no longer there. And after that, you see them go into this time of darkness, this time of, it was terrible. They didn't know what to do. They didn't understand anything about what he meant, that it was going to be better. And so they're going, this is horrible. This isn't better at all. Jesus is gone and we don't know what we're going to do, and we fear for our lives. We fear for this world. Nothing makes sense anymore. And then 3 days later, he rises from the dead. I mean, you talk about being in the pits of despair and then going to like just the mountaintops of just joy. And they're up at the top there and they're going, so they thought, oh, this is the better. Now instead of just Jesus, we have the resurrected Jesus. And they're saying, so he must be bringing his kingdom in now. He must be getting, this is the best it gets. And then he says, no, I got to go again. So he goes away again. He ascends into heaven and he's not there again. But this time, if you look in the story, you find that they're not fearfully hiding anymore. They're not in despair this time. They're not wondering. They're not acting like the world's just caving in around them. Instead, they're sitting there expectantly waiting and praying. They're sitting there going, okay, so, and you go, what changed? What changed between these disciples that were fearful the first time he went away and the disciples that are expecting the second? I think the resurrection had taught them something. I think they saw something when Jesus had said, you know what? You're going to find that when I go away, it's better. And he showed them that when he died and he came back and they go, that was better. And then he says, and now I'm going away again, but it's better. And they're going, what could be better than that? What could be better than having Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, living right there in front of you? What could be better than that? I can't wait to see that one. And they began to lean into it and expect, even as bad as it felt in their hearts, to not have Jesus right there with them, the way that he had always been, or the resurrected Jesus right there with them, the way that he had been for those last 40 days, even though that didn't feel good, They said, you know what? He said it's going to be better. So I can't wait to see what happens now. And that's when the Holy Spirit came. That's when, and they saw and they said, this is the better. You know, during the course of the year, we celebrate different things at church, right? And if I were to say, what are the two big celebrations that the church celebrates? What are they? Right.
You're going to church.
Right. Christmas and Easter. Because whether I understood what you said, I know what you said. It's Christmas and Easter, right? It's Christmas. And what do we celebrate at Christmas? It's the time that Jesus came the first time. What an amazing thing that God came into this world and he was born as a baby and he grew up. And what an amazing thing. And we celebrate Easter. What do we celebrate at Easter? That's when Jesus left for 3 days but came back as not just God in human form, the man, but God in human form, but the resurrected man. Yeah, that's better. But then what we don't take into account sometimes is if I said, what's the third celebration? What's the third kind of big celebration of the church? What is it? Some of you guys know because you guys grew up. It's Pentecost. It's Pentecost. Pentecost is actually, last week was Pentecost Sunday. This week is Trinity Sunday. Last week was Pentecost Sunday because it's the day that we celebrate when the Holy Spirit arrived. That better that came in after the resurrected Jesus left. And if we think about it, typically, you know, it doesn't get any fanfare. You don't get days off of school. You don't take time off of work. Nobody takes these big trips to be with family so that they can have their Pentecost, you know, celebrations for the week, right? We don't exchange gifts at Pentecost. Why not? If you listen to what Jesus said, he was like saying, you know what? You think Christmas was good when I first got here? You think Easter was good when I rose from the dead? Just wait till you see Pentecost. To Jesus, that was a big deal. That's the big celebration. That's like the capstone of the three kind of celebrations that God has given to his church. He says, just wait until you see this. Because it's better. It's better. It's better that I go than that I stick around with you and I live forever and I celebrate with my church in my resurrected form. What would be better than sticking around to just celebrate Easter and Christmas? It would be for me to go away so that we can celebrate Easter, Christmas, and Pentecost. And so in that, we say, okay. So that's what Jesus said, but what makes that so great? What's the big deal about the Holy Spirit compared to especially resurrected Jesus living right in front of us, right beside us? What's the big deal? I think there's a couple of things. One is this. When the Holy Spirit came, instead of having God in the flesh standing right beside me, but still separated from me, right? Still apart from me, right with me, but instead of having God with me, now I have God the Spirit in me. Still with me, but can't be separated. You can't build a wall between me and the Holy Spirit. He's there. I can't kind of divide you up small enough to where the Holy Spirit isn't in every part of who you are. I want you guys to think about what that means. I want you to think about what that means because, like we talked about last week, many times we go through life and we struggle with loneliness. We can sit in a room full of people and we can still feel alone. Some of you this morning might be sitting here in this group of people and you don't feel like anybody is with you. And Jesus knew that and he said, you know what? Better than me or anyone else being with you, I'm going to go away so that I can live in you. That no one can take that away from you, so that no one, that you never have to be alone. It is better than him being beside you, so that God would be poured out within us and forever be closer than the air that we breathe. that close, that there is never a time that he will ever leave again. Amen? So what's the big deal about the Holy Spirit? Well, one thing is that when the Holy Spirit came, instead of the power of God being something that we looked at a distance, right? We'd see Jesus arrive and we'd go, oh, great, now God's going to do something cool. And we'd have to wait for him to show up. Or else we'd have to wait for the Holy Spirit, like in the Old Testament, you read about the Holy Spirit comes on a person for like a moment or for a season so that they can get some stuff done for God. And you have to wait, but you're watching it kind of, you're observing God at work as if it's something outside of you, whether it's through his son or kind of on you, but he's going to go away because it's not really you involved. Instead of that, it says that the Holy Spirit now takes up residence within us, and the very power of God is working in you. Ephesians says that now the very power that raised Jesus from the dead is working in and through you. It's not separate from you. It's not just God has come on you for a time. It is in you and through you. It is part of who you are now. I want you to hear this statement. I am always in the purposes and power of God because the Spirit of God is always in me. I want you to say that with me. Not with me, maybe follow me. I am always in the purposes and power of God because the Spirit of God is always in me. Did you hear what you said? One more time. I am always in the purposes and power of God because the Spirit of God is always in me. I want you guys to think about that. That changes everything, doesn't it? That means that sometimes we feel powerless in our world, don't we? We feel purposeless in our circumstances, our situation. We wonder, what am I doing here? There are times that we feel very small compared to the big personalities or the big deals or the big forces that are at work in this world. But the very God that made this world, the very God that holds this universe, and it's like a little thing in the palm of his hand, that God lives in and through you. The very purposes and power of God is always in you because the Holy Spirit is always in and through you. What is the big deal about the Holy Spirit? Said God's love and God's power are now constantly, always seen through your life, in your life. The question isn't if, the question sometimes is how well am I cooperating with God kind of getting himself out there? Sometimes we kind of get in the way because we think we got to help God out. And our life is this constant learning of how do we walk in step with his Spirit? How do we walk in step with the one who now indwells us. So what's the big deal about the Spirit? The third is this. When the Holy Spirit came, instead of wondering where Jesus is, right? Because that's Jesus separate again, right? If you read the Gospels, it's funny how many times the disciples are like, where'd Jesus go? I don't know. Let's go find him. You know, and they got to go search for Jesus, and they have to seek him out. Have we checked all the places he usually is? I don't know. There's one more place we haven't checked. And they go check, and there's Jesus, right? Where'd he go? I don't know. Let's go. Instead of saying, where's Jesus? Through the Holy Spirit, we know he's right here. Always. You don't have to go searching for Jesus. He says, I'm going to take up residence in you. I will be with you always. I'll never leave. You'll never have to say, where is he? So it changes from instead of the question of where to the affirmation of right here. You know, Jesus has taken up residence in your heart, in your life, in the core of who you are through his Holy Spirit. Never to leave again. Now, I do want to make one thing clear about this, is that receiving the Holy Spirit, that's not just a kind of a automatic thing. Sometimes we think, you know, if there's a thought out there that says, if I just show up and I hang out enough in like this building with other Christians, I must be a Christian, right? There's the thinking that if I grew up in a home where everybody was a Christian, I must be a Christian. If I grew up in a nation that it was called a Christian nation, then I must be a Christian because that's just what everybody is. And we also assume that maybe because the Holy Spirit, we live in the day and the age when the Holy Spirit's been poured out upon people, and that's God's intention, that I must have the Holy Spirit too. But the truth is that the Holy Spirit, in Ephesians it says the Holy Spirit is a sign and a seal that we have entered into, very intentionally entered into, responded to the grace of God by entering into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is a sign and a seal, and I want you to hear this, that we have had that conversation with God, that we have surrendered our lives to Jesus, that we have received the gift of His forgiveness. For all of those things that we have looked at our lives and said, I understand that I have offended God in many ways, but He has offered His forgiveness to me through the sacrifice that Jesus made. I receive that gift. And that we have given God, we have given Jesus, we have given the Holy Spirit His rightful place as the Lord, the director, the initiator, the ruler of our lives. It says, when we take God, we receive that gift in that way, when we have that conversation, when we enter into that relationship, it says, then He pours His Holy Spirit out in us as a sign of that relationship. Amen? So what does that mean? What that means is this morning is that all of us in this place, we kind of sit in different, maybe a different place in relationship to the Holy Spirit, in relationship to God in this gift that He has given us, this sign and the seal. First is, there may be some of you that are here this morning that you're going, you know what? I don't know that I've entered into that relationship yet. I haven't taken that first step. I've never sat down and had that conversation with Jesus that, you know what, I need your forgiveness because I have offended you. I've never said, okay, this is your life, not just mine. I give you the lordship that you deserve of my life as well. I've never said that. I've never had that conversation. And if that's where you are this morning, that's where you need to start. Because there is nothing that God intends for you more than for you to understand and to experience life in His Spirit. Because that's what He created us for. When Jesus said, it's better that I go away, He didn't just mean that it's better that He goes away. He meant it's better if I go away as long as the Spirit is the one coming in behind. And if we don't enter that relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then that second part never happens. And then it's definitely not better that Jesus went away. But it is better because of what is possible. But that's where you need to start. I want to tell you, if at any time you are in this service and you come to the understanding or that place that you just realize this is where God is just knocking on your door and He's saying, I want you and I to be friends. I want us to have this relationship that I've always intended for us. If you want to respond to that, and including this morning, at any service, if you come down at the end of the service and meet me down here, we can pray together, we can talk together, we can walk into that. It's easy. It's not easy because it's easy for us. It's easy because God just laid it out there. So don't pass that up. So if you're here this morning and you want to enter into that, even at the end of the service, come down, just sit down in the front at the end of the service, at the last song, whenever it is, and we can do that. I'll walk with you all. We'll see you walk into that because that's God's intention. But some of you, you guys, you've entered into that relationship, right? And the Holy Spirit, He's in you because you have. But some of you, you're still living like you're powerless. You're still living like you are kind of alone and by yourself in the world, and that Jesus, your best friend, has gone away, and you gotta deal with the darkness until He comes back. When in fact He said, it's better for you because I am with you now. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. And you need to take time at some point this week or it's soon that you just take time away to just be with God, to just sit there and just recognize it. When you sit in the quiet, if you can finally just clear your mind out and just quiet all the lists that are going on and all the demands, if you can get away and just listen and you look inside to see what is actually going on, you'll find that God has been true. You'll find that His Holy Spirit, His power is in you. That His presence and His power is in you, not just as this exterior kind of gift that He gives. His power is in you because He's there. And He is there for you to learn how to converse with. He is there for you to learn how to let Him live through you. He is there for you to learn how to lean on in your hard times and to draw on His power. And He is there for you to speak to. He is there. And you need to just take the time to find out who you really are in Christ. Now, some of you, you've entered into that relationship and you know who you are in Christ, but you're really not leaning into the things that God, the ways that God has gifted you or called you to live. You're not leaning into the callings and the ministries and the giftings of Christ that are yours through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's your step. You need to start paying attention to those ways that God is nudging you. Sometimes they're uncomfortable. Sometimes they seem like great risks that we go, man, I don't want to do that. It seems like it'd be hard to do. But you need to start stepping into those things that God is calling you to. Maybe it's talking to that person that you work with and just encouraging them in those simple ways. Maybe it's answering that question when they say to you, I don't know if you've had this happen, but regularly it happens to the people of God that somebody comes up and just point blank, you say, you know, it'd be so easy, it's so much easier if somebody just asked me what makes me different. And then somebody does. And you go, I'm just really happy. You know, no, that's the door that God flung wide open. They come and they ask you, what makes you different? What is different about your life? You know what it is? God lives inside of me through His Holy Spirit because of what Jesus did. That's it. Is that overbearing? No, that's just telling them the truth. And do you know what? God will live inside of you too because of what Jesus did. That's the gospel. That's really simple. But we need to lean into those things. There are lists in several places in the Bible that tell some of the ways that God's Spirit lives out through us, especially in the context of his people, of His church. And we think of, oh yeah, there's the miracles and there's healing and there's, you know, those words of knowledge and knowing things that you shouldn't really know, but God tells you and it's really kind of crazy, you know. Yeah, there are those. And there are other things, like hospitality. You know, some of you guys, you don't know it, but God has given you, He's gifted you so that we should all be hospitable. We should all be open to, you know, bringing people in and welcoming them and making them feel like they're loved. We should all be good at that, but there's some of you, when you do that, people don't even see you. They go, wow, that felt like God saying I was loved. There's some of you, by the way that you show mercy in the lives of others, that we should all be merciful. We should all be caring and compassionate towards other people. But there's some of you, whenever you do that, people go, wow, that felt like Jesus walking into the room and saying that it was okay and taking care of me. That felt like a gift from God Himself. There's some of you that are gifted in these things, and these things come up in serving and in mercy and in encouragement, in leadership, in administration. Some of you guys, when you organize things, people walk into that organization and they go, it feels like God is here. Why? Because of the way things go on here. Well, yeah, that's just Carol. Yeah. No, that's the Holy Spirit and the gifting that has allowed her to be used by Him to administrate things in a way that makes Jesus known. And you guys, you need to know, all of us are gifted by the Holy Spirit into gifts and callings, and not just big kind of general areas of gifting, but also in some unique and special ways that God uses and makes Himself known through us. And all of us need to find that out. We need to lean into that. We need to start living into that so that Jesus would make Himself known through our lives individually, but also through the life of the church. Because finally, the last thing is we need to start living into who the Holy Spirit has called us to be together as his people, as his church, as Christ church. He's put us here very specifically for very unique and specific reasons. And I feel like right now we are kind of in this in-between time. We're in this in-between time in the life of our church where we've seen what God has done in the past, right? And God's done some great things here in the past. Amen? And those of you who have been around here for a long time, you have seen God just blow things out of the water at times that were just amazing. That's awesome, right? But we're kind of in this in-between time now where we're saying, you know what? I think Jesus is saying to us, you're going to have to kind of almost like let that go. And not just let it go like it doesn't mean anything. Let it go to the praise to God that it should be. We should be able to look back in our history and say, thank you, God, for everything you've done up to this point. Thank you for the way that you've transformed lives and that you made an imprint in this community. But we should be able to look forward because Jesus says, but there's something coming that I'm calling you to. And I want you to know that always with Jesus, it's better. Because sometimes we feel like we're leaving an old friend, right? It's hard. It's hard. We feel like it's going to be hard. Things feel like they're getting dark and unknown. And we can either go into fear or we can go into expectation. But we need to know that we live with a Jesus who is always calling us forward, who is always saying to us, I know you don't understand it yet. You don't see it yet completely. But I'm calling you into something better. Always better. Amen? You guys, that's why we celebrate Pentecost. Because we can be glad. I am glad that Jesus is here with us through the Holy Spirit. Amen? I am glad that our God has given us a season where we celebrate that even though at times it seems like he has left, in fact, he only goes away because there's something better on its way. Amen? In fact, I am glad that we have a God that we live a life and we live with a God who says always, always I'm going, sure, this was great, but that's better. And that's better. And that's better. And we're going from great, amazing, to even better, to even better. That's our track. That's our destiny, you guys. That's our calling. Because that's our God. Amen? Father, thank you so much. Your gospel is encouraging at its core. We think of it as terrible because we have to admit that we're messing up all the time and that we sin and that we're broken. That's just the facts. But the message of your good news is that you have overcome that. And not only once, but you overcome it once, and then you lead us into the next thing and the next thing, and it keeps getting better and better and better with you. Father, I pray that we would press in, all of us would press into the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The work of the glorious and gracious and compassionate God who has taken up residence within us and whose power is made through us and made known through us and in us at all times. God, that we would lean into that life. So that as individuals, but also as a church, we would find out what it means to be called to not just what is, not just what has been, but into even greater things. So Father, let your hand of mercy be on us. Let the blood and the cleansing of Jesus Christ cover us. And let the power of the Holy Spirit fill us. We pray it in your name. Amen.
We ask that you please stand.